my superpower, I'm connected to a lot of real estate professionals, near and far. Okay. They may love me, they may hate me, but they know who I am. And that I bring a lot of business that way too.
Today we had on the amazing Lana Rodriguez. She talks about how she dominates the competition with a referral-based business model, how she throws 6 to 8 amazing client events a year, and how she infiltrates, navigates, and fosters Facebook groups and communities to grow her business and keep up with her VIP clients.
The Broke Agent presents OverAsk Podcast.
Lana, thank you so much for being on. You're a force to be reckoned with in this industry, and we're excited that you're here. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. You're very kind, and I'm super stoked to be here. It's my honor.
Yeah. So let's jump right into this here, because right on your bio, it says you've served over 1,500 families since 2015.
Yes, sir.
A lot of families. How do you get to that point?
Well, you don't sleep. You don't eat. You do occasional drugs. I'm kidding.
Occasional drugs.
It was a Colorado joke, because I'm in Colorado Springs, Colorado. But honestly, dude, just focus on the people. And we came to Colorado in 2014. I did not knew a soul. And my husband gave me an ultimatum to get into real estate. And I was like, well, let's see how it's going to be. And was running and gunning as a solo producer for first 2 years. And then I was actually seeking for help. And that's when I started the team. Incorrect way, but we finally figured it out 7 years later.
And Matt, I got a stat here, actually.
Okay.
In 2016, you served 119 families, right? 119 closings. So that was just your second year of real estate. So how did you get to 119? Like, what was your business operations like to start off there?
Wow, Eric, I'm very surprised. You did your due diligence.
That's right.
I'm personally impressed. Yeah, so long story short, we moved to Colorado, brand new state. And my number one goal was actually not to become an amazing real estate professional, but actually to get opportunity to be pregnant. I wanted to have a baby. And I was one of those females who could not get pregnant easily. And with a blessing of a higher power or God or whoever you believe in, I got pregnant. And my first year of business, it was 2015. I knew I had like 9.5 months. 9.5 months to either make it in this industry and become somebody or kind of sink and fail. And what did I do? I joined a number one top producing brokerage back in the day, Remax. I joined Remax. And I was at Remax for the first 5 years. And at Remax, you're surrounded by the top producers, for people who kind of force you to level up. And to be honest, I networked like a crazy. I met as many people as possible, being brand new to Colorado, worked up to 42 and a half weeks being pregnant. I was like a boiled potato walking around, going, opening doors, showing homes. One thing that I want to share with our audience, especially if you're brand new in this industry, you have to identify your superpower. My superpower, except of being funny, of course, and hilarious, just like you two, of course, is I'm a people connector. One thing with me is if you meet me in person, if it's a client, seller, renter, they're going to fall in love with me and my personality. And then it's my job to add them to whatever CRM source I'm using. Back then, I was just using Facebook. Like CRM, it was not even a part of the equation. And I connected it to as many people as possible. And all these clients who I served, they immediately became my friends. That's how much I treated them. They just wanted to be around me. And that's why from first year, 31 transactions, into 119 transactions the second year. Like pure hustle. I did not buy leads. I did not pay for leads. I started tapping into Brian Buffini Working by Referral Systems. I want to give credit to that particular organization. And started tapping into client events just back then. But that's how it all started.
All right. If you're listening to this, this means you care about real estate marketing. You care about becoming a better agent. And that's exactly why you need to join our new platform, BAM. X. We have monthly courses for our members, including my Instagram course, it's the best in the game, objection handlings, green screens, captions, and more. You also get access to our exclusive private community for literally a frappuccino a month. If you're listening to this and you're an agent, this is an absolute no-brainer. Use code OVERASK for 10% off. There's a link down in the description. Become a member of BAM X.
31 families your first year. Eric doesn't even know 31 families.
You went to my wedding, Matt. There was hundreds of families there.
I know, but that was because
Anne, friends and family. No, that was
Anne and your lovely parents know 31 families. You,
you're right.
Not
I know
sure.
Nobody.
That's crazy. Lana. 31 to 119. Like 31's crazy by itself as a first year, but then you jumped. I can't even do the math. Was that quadruple?
That's a 3x, Matt. Not a 10x, but a 3x. 30 to 100.
And you did that pretty much in 9.5 months, you said, even because you were pregnant?
Pretty much 9.5 months. And the first year I did not have a TC. Second year I was thinking so much in SkySlope paperwork. Like, who is a SkySlope these days? But that's what we were using at Remax. And I actually went to somebody. I was like, I really need help. And they're like, do you have a TC? I'm like, what's a TC? I don't know what it is. But yes, I probably need one. And finished the year with a TC. And this was an aha moment, because a lot of agents like, well, how can I do this? So I was like, well, number one, you cannot be a lazy ass. You have to just get up and just go get it, right? We all hear this. But back then, back in 2015 and 14 and 16, do you remember Meetups? You know, the app or platform called Meetups? So me being
random. Tinder.
Tinder.
not Meetups.
Tinder got popular after I was married, so I cannot tell you anything about that platform, but I heard some people have very successful cloud on it. But Meetups, it's pretty much meetup groups in your area. So I joined also like hiking moms, knitting moms. And to be honest, I went to all those group meetups and I'm like, I'm wasting my freaking time. But this is an aha moment. You need to connect to the alpha of the group, because there is always an organizer and a person who knows other people who participate, because I don't have time or even mental capability to be in touch with all of these people. But I connected and became quite a kind of acquaintances with all these alphas leading these groups. And that's how referrals started coming in. And what I did, I opened up my Facebook, not business page, very important, private page. And I just started adding everybody in. And see, I'm a firm believer that Facebook is a two-way communication tool. Why? Because let's say I meet Matt at the conference. I'm like, Matt, you're awesome, dude. I would love to be connected. If I follow him on Instagram, most of the time, he's not going to follow me back. He's a busy dude. He doesn't keep up with that. But if we friend each other on Facebook, I'm immediately Matt's world and Matt is in my world. Okay. And that's what I started doing. I started embedding myself into these people's lives. And also, little hint, my love language is gifts. I'm pretty, like, you guys remember, you each got from me something in the mail like a year ago, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And this is who I am. And on Facebook, people share their personal shit, because no one is going to be fighting flu and feeling cute and post that shit on Instagram. No, people post about it on Facebook. And I see these posts, I track them daily. Now I also have a client care person who helps me with that. And if somebody's sick in my client community or in my sphere, they may get a soup, they may get a flowers. So, but no one else is doing that, especially in my market. And I know agents across the board are not doing it either.
Is Facebook still like that now? Because I feel like when you're talking about adding all these people to your personal page in 2016, 2017, that was kind of where you publish everything. That's where you updated your Facebook status. That's where you communicated with people. That's where you chatted in Facebook Messenger. Maybe just because I'm so now into Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, I'm not utilizing Facebook like that as much. But I mean, tell me, prove me wrong if that's still what's happening. Like, are your clients all still interacting on Facebook? Because if I got a friend request right now, I might honestly be a little creeped out. Like, I don't know who is friend requesting people as much anymore.
Yeah.
So is that still going on Facebook?
I think I've been trying to friend request you on Facebook for like a few times and my request just gets ghosted.
Because I never see it. I don't go on my personal Facebook to look at anything anymore. It's always Instagram and Twitter to actually see what's going on with my friends.
The only way we communicate, Eric. That's weird you're saying that.
Oh,
now.
Right. Of course. Yes. Yeah. Just Facebook chat. That's how. Hey, Matt, we got to get Lana on just on Facebook chat. Yeah.
No, but Eric, this is actually a great question. And for you and amazing content creators and leaders in our industry, Facebook is not going to be your platform for like for where you going, right? But for my client avatar and for the agents who I'm attracting within my real organization or whatever, they're still on Facebook, because my client avatar is probably a military family, maybe first time home buyer, one or two kids, dual or for one income, and they are on Facebook. They're not not trying to downplay my clients or by any means, but they're not advanced enough to go tap into TikTok or tap into Instagram. Because what's our age of a consumer? Probably like mid-30s, 40s, a little bit of early 50s. So that's why Facebook still works really, really well for me. I'm currently on a mission growing my Instagram because we're going to talk about social media probably. I want to tell you guys my TikTok story, but let's save that for the next question.
Yeah. Yeah. Before that, you said something super interesting about the Facebook groups that I've never really even thought of. You were saying you were joining all these groups and you're going there and you're hanging out and you're like knitting and hiking and doing whatever. But if you communicate with the actual organizer of the group, everyone in that group trusts that person. So if you're on their good side and you befriend that person, you're kind of like the right-hand person for, oh, you need a real estate agent? Lana, she's in this group. She's great. And then you've automatically built trust with everyone in the group because the organizer likes you.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And for some of our audience, like, well, how do you do this? Do you have to like schmooze people? No, it's like simple thank you. Hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. Thank you. Here's a Starbucks card on me. Because like genuine appreciation, person to person, is just almost doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Or it's like very, very like diluted. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. The knitting mom thing, is that a real Facebook group? Everybody uses the knitting mom thing as like an arbitrary, like an example of like a Facebook group you should join. So this is actually a real thing. There is a knitting mom group.
Dude, it was a real thing. Knitting moms, right? And of course, me plugging in, I'm like, I'm a really young real estate professional, but I'm curious about knitting for my upcoming baby, right? So you kind of have to bullshit your way through it to groups like this. And hiking moms, because moms, they're like a clan, like a gang, you know, so they get together and do things. Luckily, I'm not that crazy because, you know, have a good
work life. The hell's moms. Yeah.
So before, or I guess after the, what'd you call it? Group, not group me, but meetup. Before that, after that app, like right now, maybe that app is still active, but if you're a real estate agent, how would you go about finding these groups? Is it just searching in the Facebook search bar, or what's the move to infiltrate these knitting moms?
So now every big city has mom groups. Now you have to be very careful because when I was starting 7-8 years ago, there was very, very little realtors who were trying to plug themselves in. Now, most of those groups are probably already diluted with other real estate professionals. So if you're going to start being that hyperactive, you have to be very careful. But it doesn't mean you cannot start your own group. And if you're committed to that growth, it's going to be very, very successful. I personally run only one Facebook group, and it's my client VIP group. And who do we add in it? It's our past, present, future clients. Anyone I meet, I don't know if you guys saw my latest reel. I literally was doing a walkthrough today on behalf of my seller, Evan, and there was a tenant. And of course, me just, you know, wandering through the house, being polite and just small talking. She was temporarily renting this property and she had to go back to her house. It flooded. And I was like, oh, wow, where do you live? Who was your realtor? 50% when you ask somebody who was a realtor, they do not remember. And I was like, perfect opportunity for me to step in. And I invited her to be part of my client VIP Facebook group, because why do we call it like that? Because everybody wants to be part of something special. And then I also invited her to upcoming client event. Why? Because she's a military spouse. She's a mom of three. I'm sure she either going to be buying or selling within the next 2 years, or she's going to have some friends. So I've just plugged myself in because she does not remember her real estate professional's name. And now it's going to be me.
When did you start that group?
I started the client group. We probably started like 4 or 5 years ago.
And have you seen like a mass growth in your business since that group has started?
Not specifically like that, because it's let me paraphrase that. The reason why we run this group is to stay omnipresent and communicate with our clients, right?
Yeah.
Because remember, majority of the real estate professionals, they do not have proper systems that set them up for success post-transaction. Because we're all super amazing, clear to close, let's take a closing photo. But when it comes to like, okay, now what? Your client is closed, they're moved into their house, what are you going to do? Our systems are very, very simple. And that's like one of my keynotes that I do in travel, and I speak on that. And I give everybody a heads up, it's going to be super simple, but I know half of you are not doing it, and it's true. So like, we're very big on client events, because I'm a firm believer, if you provide people complimentary experiences or they can bring the entire family, it's going to go a long way. We send out a monthly newsletter, and I personally use that Facebook group as a tool to communicate with my clients. Because keep in mind, gentlemen, I'm a salesperson, but I hate to be sold. Like, I just hate to be when somebody's selling me, like Zillow, realtor, you know, virtual assistant, bombarding your phone. Well, you have to put your clients in the same kind of name, because somebody's going to be marketing to them online or whatever. Somebody's going to be farming their area. So what are you going to do to genuinely stand out?
What kind of stuff are you posting in this group? Because I imagine it's basically on you to get the conversation going, especially when the group was small. Now that it's bigger, I'm sure there's community stuff going on. But what sort of direction do you take the group in with how often you're posting and the topics?
Yeah, great question, Eric. So one thing that we do not post is just listed or just listing. Because no, that's not for it. We leave other platforms to spam that. But it's most of the time upcoming client appreciation events. And one thing what we do, what works really effectively, and that's why typically on a good event, we pack anywhere from 500 to 700 people, is that our event invitation system, there's five steps. Number one step, we always create a Facebook invite in the Facebook group. Then there is going to be a very nice colorful mailer that goes to their house, because I'm a firm believer in intangible items. Then typically myself or me and my videographer will go on site and we do a teaser. Hey, this is Lana Rodriguez coming to you. We would love to see you, because our people are visual too. You know, they want to see, they may not want to come to this thing I'm throwing, but they're going to see it. Oh, Lana is there. It looks awesome. Let me come. Then we send it out in a newsletter format, everybody email blast. And then I encourage myself and all my agents. I was like, don't be lazy. Please sit down, designate your time and personal touch always and always. Either it's a phone call, a DM, whatever. So we do a lot of that. And that's why it's kind of like a, you get permission, you give expectations up front, like, hey, I'm Lana Rodriguez. You can be part of my client community. I'm hosting a lot of shit. So be prepared. You're going to be invited lots of times. So that's when it comes, it's not a surprise for them. Also, what works very effectively, all kind of different polls, like, hey, we're deciding between this, and this. Because people love giving their opinion. And even if you want to do like a pop-in question, hey, we just had somebody move here. Best playground for the kids. And people start interacting. But go ahead.
Did you say you get 500 to 700 people going to these events?
Yes.
Wow.
That's a crazy number. That's what, 50% of your Facebook group, or more than 50% of your Facebook group as is. So that sort of retention is ridiculous. And I guess that multiple follow-up really helps. What are the events? Like, what are you doing at them?
Yeah, on a good year, I'm going to give you the good year was 2021. We went all the way out. We had like 8 events. Usually beginning of the year, January, we host client appreciation gala, where they actually leave the kids at home and we rent out a big ballroom. We hire a DJ. There's a dinner buffet and a complimentary bar, because who doesn't like to have a nice drink and have a good time? So we do that. We didn't do it this year because market shifted. So we're on a little stricter budget, if you know what I mean.
Just 20 people at this event.
From the Chick-fil-A.
It's not a gala. Yeah, exactly. There's no DJ.
Yeah.
No food, nothing.
Right. So,
I'll park.
Let me just tell you what we do on regular year, and I'll tell you what we did this year, because I was like, okay, if I'm not going to do this, I have to do something else. Then one of the biggest events is our Easter brunch. Now, for our audience listening, please don't get overwhelmed with this information, and I don't expect you to go and start renting out ballrooms too. No, our Easter brunch 5 years ago started with like freaking egg hunt in the park. Like, we would gather everybody, spread the eggs, and people are like, we're having a good time. Now we also rent out a very nice restaurant in one of the fanciest hotels in Colorado Springs, and we're providing bottomless mimosas, a jazz band, and I can provide all the links if somebody wants to like watch it later on. It can be links to add to the podcast. Easter bunny, multiple Easter egg hunts, too. It's quite a bit of experience. And what it did to our client community, it became a tradition, okay? So past client, brand new client, they have these pretty much live events with our team to look forward to. Now, does it cost me money? Yes. For example, this event, this year's event was 20 grand. 20 grand, we had 500 people. And that cost is strategically being also co-sponsored with my lending partner. Okay. For many, many years, I also was not asking for money, and I was paying it everything out of my pocket. But then I learned that actually your lending partners can contribute and sponsor as well.
They just ask you to go to lunch. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then we had Easter. Because remember, the pattern is I'm trying to touch all the main holidays, right? Yeah. Holiday, I want my clients to be like, is Lana hosting something? Or why we have not heard from Lana? Is she doing something? Because typically Lana is doing something. Then we have Mother's Day. For Mother's Day, we usually do painting with a twist. the month of June. Hey, I'm a mom. Majority of my clients are moms. Moms or dads too. We're doing something for kids back, like, you know, celebrate end of school. So this June, we're doing the movie premiere. We're renting out four huge movie theaters. We're doing premiere of Transformers, The Flash, and there's a cartoon called Elemental. So we're doing providing that experience. And then we're probably going to be doing something for August to celebrate back to school, maybe ice cream social. And the biggest event, gentlemen, you may not wonder, like, biggest event is freaking pumpkin patch. This is the pumpkin patch when we everybody comes. Everybody comes out of the boonies and they bring their neighbors, they bring their grandparents. And that's when we typically pack from 700 to 800 people. And my cost per head is only $10. $10. I have agreement with a local pumpkin patch owner. I go to his office. I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring all these people. I need one day reserved for my crowd only. He's like, yeah, sure. And he provides pumpkin for everybody, open space, lots of attractions, and a lunch. Okay, I'm almost done with my list. So then there's trunk or treat for Halloween. You know, we bring our vendors. Everybody decorates a trunk. I go buy candy at Costco or Sam's Club. And I want to tell you, may I share with you my pie story?
No. No, okay. I'm kidding. Yes, of course. Yes, tell us.
Hey, oh, Brooks Landry had a pie story too. Brooks Landry, oh, God, like, I don't know. What, didn't he like bake pies and give them to people?
Yeah, he baked pies and smashed his own face into him. I think that was the entire story. No, we want to hear the pie story. I'm sure it's better than Brooks's.
Well, no, Brooks is also executing pie event at a high level. But I would have All right. So when I was a brand new agent in 2014, I heard that realtors are doing pie things, right? And I was like, let me just go ahead and go to Costco. And I did. I went to Costco and out of my personal savings, I had like little savings. My husband had, we had a joint account. I had my personal savings and I bought 85 pumpkin pies. Why? Because my husband thought it was going to be a crazy idea and I should not do this. And he didn't give me any funds for it. And I was like, holy shit, I have these 85 pies because I'm very spontaneous. Just like you two. Well, I don't know about Eric because Eric seems very reserved and operational, but I know you and I, Matt, are very like, yeah, idea, let's fucking go.
You think I'm operational? Thank you.
Yes. That's I consider you one of the smartest men in real estate.
And that's just spontaneous bouncing off the walls.
I'm just a spontaneous moron.
But anyway, so I have these 85 pies and I'm like, holy shit, now what? I created a free Facebook event in one of the yard sale groups or local groups. And I was like, free pies delivered to your door. And it filled up in hours. Like in 2 hours, I already had almost 60, 70 people. So for next 3.5 days, I delivered pies to random people's doors in Colorado Springs. This is how desperate I was to succeed on some level. Because once again, you're part of Remax. You're surrounded by these top producers. And I was brand new. I was so green and I was so naive. And I was like, well, I'm going to try to do this. There's like Remax agents who were like making fun of me. Are you going to do this? And I did. And this is what happened. Out of those 85 people, there was like complete strangers and things like that. Most of them were complete strangers. There was about 5 to 10 people who said, hey, are you a realtor? I'm like, yes, I am. They're like, well, we may use you next year. And they did. And out of those 10 people who used me the following year, 5 of them became my A++ clients. And for audience, A++ means people who do multiple transactions with you or refer you multiple times. All right. So pie thing became kind of a thing for me, became kind of a thing. And where do I get my pies? Of course, Costco. Like, okay, everybody gets their fucking pies at Costco. And like, unless you're Brooks Landry and you bake your pies, which is, I don't know if you really do bake those.
I don't think Brooks is capable of baking anything.
Yeah. But anyway, so long story short, pies and the pie event became one of the biggest pie events I was hosting, right? But look, my clients are very intelligent people. They're not dumb. They're like, okay, Lana's getting her pies at Costco. Do I want to spend my weekend with the family? Go see Lana for a free pie. So my attendance rate started dropping and I'm immediately, okay, I need to do something. So guess what I added?
Okay, so something I hear agents complain about all the time is that online leads are complete trash. They're not converting. They're not responsive. So let me let you in, Matt, on a little secret. Boomtown was literally designed to overcome those challenges. They know that online home shoppers are further out from transacting, maybe 3, 6, 12 months down the road. So Boomtown actually nurtures those leads for you using proven automated smart drip campaigns.
And beyond that, Boomtown also monitors your entire database of leads for behaviors that indicates readiness to transact and then engage them for you at exactly the right time. You see everything, everywhere, all at once. Yeah, it's kind of like that, except it's you that's everywhere. And there are no hot dog fingers, Eric. Okay, you know a little bit about hot dog fingers. Yeah. So if you're ready to grow your database and have your transactions steadily increase, visit boomtownroi.com/overask. Plus, get $750 in free digital advertising credits. That's boomtownroi.com/overask.
We added pictures with Santa on top of pies. Now, smart people don't give a damn about Costco pie that costs $5.99, but they're going to drive across town to take pictures with their kids with a Santa. And where do we find our Santa? Actually, their website's Santa for Rent. So you get one of those websites and you rent the Santa we're renting. His name is Santa Brad. My dudes, when I see this man come into, like, I start crying, like tearing up, right? Because he looks so real and he sounds so real. And he's so genuine. So if we provide this complimentary experience for our clients and the turnaround one back up, because like, look, where can you go get a decent picture with Santa? Like Dick's Sporting Goods or the mall? No, thank you. Right. So when you start providing these experiences for your clients and make their lives easier, it's going to come back to you.
Pies. I mean, we've heard it here again. I told this to Brooks. I mean, I used to deliver pumpkins via wagon. Didn't have the same experience as you, I can tell you that. Not one client, one person out of the 18 pumpkins that I had actually took a pumpkin because they felt bad.
Just rejected them? Yeah.
Because my wheel of the wagon actually broke as I was bringing them and they started falling out. So she felt bad. She said, all right, kid, I'll take a pumpkin. And she sold her house across the street from, she lived across the street from me. And my parents, when I lived with my parents, she sold her house, not with me. So
did you have like a bike, like with the pumpkins?
Or no, I was were you walking.
Just, you were walking with a them, wagon. With a sad like wheelbarrow or something?
Like a Fisher Price wagon.
Oh my God. And yeah, that's a tough look.
How old was I? 25. So I was this 25 leather jacket wearing moron with a pumpkin around, you know, and people were like taking their kids inside. They're like, no, we don't want a pumpkin, you weird creep.
Lana, did you serve out a bunch of lumpy pumpkins? You know those like wart infested ones?
No.
You like those ones?
You know, actually, those are more expensive.
Yeah, I know. Some people like those ones. Like I see them like sitting outside of my neighbor's apartment sometimes. Those things are disgusting.
Yeah, they're I just think get a real pumpkin. Why don't you?
Yeah, yeah. So, don't get one with a bunch of warts on it.
So a bunch of acne, put some Spectrogel on
that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have a choice between a clean pumpkin and one of those. Why would you get the other one? Yeah.
It's insane. People are insane. But you said
like
in those groups,
pink
in those groups, you had polls. Do your clients, sometimes you do polls for what event it's going to be? Like, would you rather do a whatever, like a pumpkin, Easter egg hunt or a like, lunch or something? Like, do you do those in the group and let your clients pick what kind of event it's going to be?
Yeah, well, actually the events are already picked. We mark them, we're going to plan them accordingly year ahead of time. So beginning of January, me and my team would sit down and we kind of like sketch it out, what's going to work, what's not going to work. But then we still give that option to the client to choose, even though it's already made decided, because it's all about the interaction. People like to be contribute their opinions and
So I've noticed that with everything.
Yeah. All these events, incredible, right? But sounds like kind of an enormous pain in the ass, if I'm being frank. Like it's definitely an incredible way to get everybody to congregate and like rally around you. I'm thinking like for the average agent, I don't know if people like when starting out their career would even be capable doing all these events, right? Because you need a client base to start inviting people to it. So I kind of want to transition. I don't mean to insult by saying enormous pain in the ass. I'm just thinking like a lot of people listening are probably like, wow, this is incredible, but I don't see myself throwing like 6 to 8 events a year. So on the social side, how are you getting leads and people other than Facebook and like adding friends? Like what are you doing on Instagram to get leads? Because you have an enormous following there, 16,000 plus. And what are you doing on TikTok, and what sort of content are you posting?
Well, I'm not going to go into my TikTok content because it's not real estate related. No, but we'll talk about it. Like, I want to share my TikTok story. But honestly, so working by referral, it comes in many different shapes and forms. Client, like, and you guys, I know Eric is part of Tom Ferry, right? Matt, are you part of Tom Ferry too?
I like him. He's my friend.
Yeah. But we're not part of his coaching, but we're in his ecosystem. He's great.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
I love Tom.
I saw him the first time in Houston at Real Estate Video Blueprint a few weeks ago. And yeah. He said like, lasagna. That's his method, lasagna. So lasagna is probably the thickest layer of my lasagna is client events. Okay. That's like our bread and butter. We will never stop doing that. Even in 2020, when the world was shut down, we managed to do something, right? So then what else we do? Once again, working by referral comes in many different shapes and forms. Since the beginning of my career, started traveling to a lot of conferences and I put myself out there first. And this is for anyone who ever wants to get on stage or become a public speaker, right? Because it's a new modern thing to do. Before you want to get on stage, you need to embrace yourself in as many conferences as possible. And you'd go there and you network and you meet as many people as possible and you connect with them. And then when you realize what kind of level of speaker you like, you start creating your keynotes and pitching it and getting on stages. But my superpower, I'm connected to a lot of real estate professionals, near and far, okay? They may love me, they may hate me, but they know who I am. And that I bring a lot of business that way too. For example, last year we did 200 transactions, and we did, out of 200, there was 40 referral transactions that came from our real estate partners, not in Colorado. So anyone can grow that. You just have to be a little social, or if you hate people, that's fine too, but you need to put yourself in these situations, right? That works really, really well for me too. When my TikTok content was real estate related, I connected with a lot of professionals too. Now I kind of paused on TikTok because my niche switched over there. My niche became a little bit different. And now I'm really working hard on growing my Instagram account and getting into Reels because I was a little behind. Because it was like, for me, it was Facebook, TikTok. And I'm like, oh shit, everybody on Instagram Reels. So I'm embracing myself on there. And then I want everybody to start thinking also, especially our audience, you're a real estate professional and what else? So I'm going to bring in as example, my husband, Brian. He's an Army guy. He's been in the Army for 12 years. And he graduated like military academy. And he noticed that, we work together, by the way, I'm not just giving him clout. He noticed that within his military academy niche, there was no one talking or doing real estate things. So he created his own little real estate group, and then it grew into the real estate conference. And he's pulling approximately very healthy amount of leads there monthly, annually, because he just saw the opportunity. No one was doing it. So why not? Why not?
So are you creating a lot of agent-to-agent content when you say you had 40 leads or 40 deals closed from other agents? Is that strictly from meeting the people in person at these conferences, or is that from your content as well?
Content, right now I'm focusing agent-to-agent because honestly, Eric, like my content was all over the place, but now I'm, you know, embracing myself, I'm following the right people, I'm listening to the right podcasts to actually narrow myself down. Because people say when you market to all, you market to none. And I feel like me marketing to agents near and far is like my cup of tea, like funny situations, things like that, relatable. Because there's agents who market to buyers and sellers. And look, I've been selling homes for like the last 8 years. I kind of know how to track buyers and sellers my own way, but I would love to connect with more real estate professionals. And simply also not only just to get referrals or bring them into my real network, but simply to help them. Because look, I don't know it all, but I know some stuff that really, really works. And if we can connect and I can just help them, why freaking not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about, well, first, what do you do on TikTok? Why is it so top secret? What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. You like don't, you diverted away from that multiple times. What niche are you doing on TikTok? Honest account.
Okay, my dudes, let me just tell you a quick story. So TikTok, once again, the platform, right? I never had an idea or like desire to become a TikTok creator. And this is what happened. True story. March 2020, my Facebook account gets hacked. Hacked majorly for 1 month and a half. Completely locked out of all my devices. and no one can help me. So I actually had to ask Tristan Ahumada, the lab code agent guy, because he had a partnership with Facebook on like higher level to get me up the chain. And it took me 1 month and a half to unlock myself back in. And what happened to me, and I'm like a very happy gal. I like to joke around, and I typically very, like, I don't get depressed, but that Facebook situation like hit me hard because look, my client group is there. Like all my community, all my people are there. So I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to do. Like I was so sad, and I was like, okay, let me just get on TikTok. I'm just bored at home. Cause remember it was a lockdown. And there's few stages of TikTok. For anyone who wants to get into TikTok creation, you cannot just download an app and start posting shit and think you're going to get successful. No, you download an app and you become a user. You start kind of like learning the content. The algorithm starts making piece of who you are. Then you start relating to content. I saw this funny mom meme, or so Matt pull something funny, you know, you start getting ideas, maybe save them. And then I was like, I can do this. I think I can do this. So I was not a TikTok creator yet. I already must have a ring light because all the TikTokers have a ring light. And my husband got it. He's like, what is this shit? And he hid it from me. He's like, you're not going to be doing anything.
Holy shit.
I'm like, okay, all right.
You hid it from me, that's great.
Yeah. So I had to start doing TikToks in my basement when my husband and my kids were asleep. True story. Like it's relatable. I had to do this. And I was just posting some things like some mom humor, a little bit of real estate humor. Remember, I'm still locked out on my Facebook, so I cannot communicate with anybody. And what I would do is TikTok immediately downloads your TikTok on your phone. I would send it out to my clients, send it out to fellow real estate professionals like, hey, have a joke on me, blah, blah, blah. And then one of my videos went viral. And I was like, holy shit, what happened? Did my TikTok account get hacked? It was just this weird, like these likes. And I was like, so I guess I can go viral on this platform. And for that year in 2020, I think I grew to like 10,000 followers, just posting mom content, funny real estate mom, realtor, blah, blah, blah. And that's how I started. Now 2021 was a very busy year for our team. It was the biggest year in our existence. We did 300 transactions by referral only. It was me. My team was the biggest there ever was. We were like over 12 agents, 5 support staff. We were running and gunning. So I clearly did not have time to go back to TikTok. Because once again, and you both know, you guys are like gurus at social media. You have to be very consistent on the platform to even grow. Because even if you think you're consistent, but algorithm doesn't think that, you're not going to grow. But then two things happen. And I'm just going to get fully transparent, and it's going to relate to our female audience. I had two things happen. I went through mommy makeover surgery, where they chop you up and they put you back together and you look better than before. And as I was trying to find helpful content on TikTok, there was like very little. I was like, well, let me just share some things that worked for me, and that content blew up. Like anything I post, you just show them your stomach, show them your scars, it just goes viral. Other thing happened, I went through the weight loss journey and I decided to post about that. And those pieces go viral as well. So now I'm at over organic 50,000 followers on TikTok.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Over 1 million likes. But I kind of slowed it down a little bit. Because see, this is a content. This is the people who, like, they don't bring me any leads. It feels very, very good helping people. But now I'm kind of pausing. I'm thinking, do I want to structure and go back into creating real estate videos? Or do I just continue helping women who go through the weight loss transition or surgery? So that was my TikTok story.
The good thing with TikTok is, like, Zach Loft does this too, where he'll talk about military stories. He'll talk about something real estate related, is that it's not showing up on everybody's feed. So it's not even necessarily going to confuse the audience being like, oh, what is Lana posting about now? Unless they're following you or whatever. Like, TikTok will still serve that direct content to the audience that wants to see it. So if you do real estate content, it will serve it to a real estate audience. And if you do the mom content, it will serve it to a mom audience usually. So, but I totally feel you in terms of being consistent on TikTok. I basically gave up on it. I haven't posted anything on TikTok. Our BAM account does like real estate clips and everything. But I had a very similar story to you in 2020 when I, like, during the pandemic, everybody hopped on TikTok. My now wife, I would wait for her to either go asleep or go in the other room. And I would lock myself in the office and like turn on a light and like do these like lip syncs or just try to figure out what I'm trying to do because it was so embarrassing. I didn't want her seeing. So it'd be like, if she went and took out the dog Miles for a walk, I was like, all right, perfect. I got 30 minutes here to try to like be myself, not be myself, but to try to like film an actual TikTok. So I think that that story is very relatable about locking yourself in the basement, because sometimes when you're creating content, you need nobody around you because it can be embarrassing.
Yeah, 100%. I get that.
Wow. Sharing, Eric. That's crazy. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he quit.
Yeah, exactly. And then
so Lana, good for you for keeping it going.
Exactly.
Let's talk a bit about Real.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about Real and the recruiting, and I think a lot of people have, I don't know, maybe a misinterpretation of what it is, or you're compared a lot to EXP. Like in those Facebook groups, I always see like, you know, who should I choose, Real or EXP, or Real or Keller Williams. So what was your decision for that? Because Eric and I were talking, and not to, you know, bash Real, you have some amazing agents and everything, but like it wouldn't necessarily be for, you know, a lot of people go to a new brokerage for maybe market share or brand, and I don't know if you would have that right now. So like, what was your main reason for going over there?
Well, I just saw Tim Macy and I saw Brett's hair and I was like, thinking when you call it.
They tricked you, they coerced you into it. Yeah, we love those guys.
No, but honestly, so once again, 5 years with Remax, 3 years with Keller, and loved Keller. I was a big fan of Gary. It's just some things on local level that were happening were not aligning with my vision and mission and for who I stand for. Because once again, I'm a visionary. I'm like, let's all get together and do some dope shit. Let's grow together. And it was not like that. It was very political. So about 2 years into Keller, I knew it was time for me to move on. I was just not sure where. We were opening up our standalone office in Colorado Springs, right? This building right here, I'm sitting here. And we're like, well, why don't we go independent? And we thought about it for like 24 hours. And I decided, no, I love being part of something bigger. I love being part of network. And that's how growth happens. And then we're like, okay, well, EXP, you know, they're very persistent. And they have, like, let's give credit to EXP because they have some very, very top producers, creators, and their attraction ways are very persistent. But something was just not aligning. You know, because just like you, gentlemen, I have some goals and motivations, too, that I want to see myself, you know, coming into the organization and actually becoming somebody. What did EXP, they're at 88,000 people. Do you think when Lana would come in and she would like make a difference or make an impact? Probably not. And I started looking into Real. I was like, so this person joined and this person joined. Well, let me just check it out. Let me just see how the vibe is. Because everybody's going to give you the whole good attraction spiel. But I was like, let me just fly in into one of their events. And it was an event in Utah last summer where Tamir, our CEO, was coming and everybody were there. I was like, I paid my own way. No one flew me into the jet to impress me like LPT does. Did I just say that? Ooh, please cut it out. So me and my husband, we went there. We were just like this like small couple in the corner just observing. And everybody were so kind and welcoming. And when I met Tamir, our CEO, I was like, done. So humble, straight to the point, no secret agenda. He's like, it may not be for you. If it's for you, we'd love to have you. I'm like, yes, take my money. But ultimately, a couple things happened. We were the first people to bring Real into Colorado Springs. So we're kind of like, you know, representing. And I feel like I'm contributing to the company. There's only 10,000 members. Like, imagine when we're at 100,000. Like, we're going to be taking, what is it, taking names or whatever we do. And it feels right. Their attraction model is less aggressive than EXP. I like that. I like that I don't have a pressure. Pounding calls and, you know, bribing people to come join. I was like, if this aligns with you, come join us. If not, the best of luck. I'm still here to cheer you on. Does that answer your question?
It is a way more organic attraction with the masterminds and the events. Does your mindset shift at all as a realtor? Like, is your goal now to grow your team at Real, to grow the downline as opposed to serving the clients, right? Because now it's like, oh, I get to speak at these events. I could recruit people. I could make, you know, this month, this amount, like monthly. Does it get in the way of your real estate business, or does the focus shift at all?
Yeah, this is a very good question. No, okay. No, because I'm very, very clear where the bread and butter money is, and that's our real estate sales. And also Real endorses you never stop selling. Like, I think it's one in our contract, it states, we're not allowed to offer you value to come join us. Like, hey, man, come join me and you're going to get a free blah, blah. We can't do that. And we also, we attract producing agents. And besides, if I'm going to stop selling, stop recruiting, everybody does that. No, we can't do that. Right. Of course, it's interesting to see how other people attract. But it's not my goal. My goal is to grow organization where I'm happy. Like right now, I have 70 people in my organization and I haven't even been pounding the phone. It's all people who show me, make a move, ask why Real. I'm like, these are my reasons. It may not be for you, but this is my reasons. And they're like, well, let me think about it. And then something happened within their previous brokerage, or they want to be part of something greater. Because once again, even though we are like high fives and, you know, we're part of something, but real estate is still a very lonely sport.
Is there a competition at all among the people that speak at these events? So say it's the launch event, which seems like there's a lot of like launch events, but you know, you got Bob Tompkins, Brad McCollum, Tim, Katie, you know, the usual real suspects. And then a bunch of people come to the event and say three or four join, right? Or however many join. Who do those people join under?
So, you know, I have not personally endorsed envisioned where like we all invite one person and they're like, oh, I don't know what to do. It's not like that. Okay. Or even if it's like something close, it's not like that. Everybody, all these events are open to public. And one thing that I think makes us different from EXP, because even when I was looking into EXP, I was like, well, these people are hosting event. Like, no, you cannot come. It's like this downlines event. We're here, even being at Real, what, like 7-8 months, I already spoke at events with multiple downlines. Like no one even asks me or cares who I signed up for. They see Lana as a Lana and they invite me to that event, right? And also Real right now launched a co-sponsoring thing. So let's say me and Matt invited somebody to one event and they're not sure, well, you can sign under both of us. So I think it breaks the stereotypes of this like aggressive attraction, just join me. No, you can actually be part of both worlds and we can make it all work.
I just spoke at a Real event.
In Canada?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So how was your experience?
It was good. It was good. I think everyone there joined because of me and I'm not even there. That's what I heard.
Some residual for that.
Yeah, I should get some residual. What's with all the you guys go on like tours worth of events? I mean, there is so many events. Is that just to grow like your agent number?
Yeah, well, to give back, because believe it or not, like all these, like for example, the launch events, it's Tim Macy's events. So he kind of like strategically scheduled them. But the people who are attending actually are majority of the Real events. Like we all flying in and it's not for attraction. It's actually more of a contributing value to our people. You know, because our people are lonely too. Remember, we're online brokerage. There is no brick and mortar. So as much value we can provide online and also in person, that goes a long way. And if somebody's interested, I mean, clearly no one, like everybody sees it's a Real people event and they just come in, they check it out. They maybe never ask us questions about Real and it's fine. But the majority is actually support your own people and your own down like network members.
Yeah, I went to Video Blueprint last year and it was extremely valuable. I spoke at it last year and then I spoke at one in Greenville that Bob Tompkins threw that was also a really good event. So there's a ton of value in these events for sure. It's crazy to see it from an outside perspective of just these tours. Like, you know, we'll see like Ed Stulak or something post his thing and it's like he's a traveling band and we're like, this has got to suck at some point, right? Like how many times can you hear people say the same thing and have the same talks with the same people? But I guess it's, you know, different attendees in the different locations. It's just like from the real estate community perspective, we're kind of like, damn, like mastermind event. Like, how do they have time to do all this, basically?
Well, it's kind of a little bit picking and choosing, you know, because most of us, we have our team still doing production here in our cities. And even though I'm not at Ed's level, I don't go on tour. I mean, I like speak like maybe once a month, you know, so.
That's a lot still. I mean, speaking is, it takes a lot out of you. Yeah.
Do they actually pay you to speak or do they, you just, it's, you get paid in whoever you recruit for your downline?
I get paid in love and hugs and high fives.
That's worth it.
That's horrible.
No, most of the time we actually pay our own flight and hotel. I actually had my first paid speaking engagement this year. I'm not going to go into details. but it was okay.
What do you mean it was okay?
What do you mean? Previous? Yeah.
Was it, yeah. What do you mean?
What does that mean?
Was okay?
Did you make a lot of money or what happened?
Yeah,
not make a lot of money.
Okay.
Money. But it was put up by an amazing organization. But the setup, so instead of a main stage, they put me in the breakout room. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
the classic hey. Breakout room. Yeah. I've been there one too many times.
And I was like, holy shit, let's hope people are going to come in. People came in. And then remember, I'm a speaker. I'm like, I talk a lot and I'm very passionate. And they cut me off right on time. And you don't do that to any speaker. And I thought it was like a little rude. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to make my way out and probably never going to speak there again. Does it make sense?
Yeah. Yes. Where was it?
Yeah. Tell us the exact location.
It was in San Diego.
San Diego. Who threw it?
Jason Cassidy, possibly?
We'll bleep it out. I promise we'll bleep it out.
No. It was not Jason Cassidy. I know Jason. I'll give him shit personally.
Jason, you motherfucker.
Yeah, I know it was Jason.
It was Jason. I know it was
Jason. The red light went on and he just threw you off stage. Classic.
Yeah, jeez.
But Jason shoot through an event, his own. I know him and Siri and Sharon. They were doing some things together.
Do you do anything when you meet these people at these conferences? Do you give them gifts? Do you do any other thing to keep that like Lana staple in their head? Because it seems like anytime with the clients, there's so many gifts and events, but is there something you do at these real estate events to keep them in your head or vice versa?
So one thing what I do, because clearly I cannot be sending gifts to everyone I meet, even though
that'd be crazy.
But back in the day, I used to send out Eva bots. Do you guys remember Eva bot? I think Matt got an Eva bot for me. Eva bot where it came like in a branded box with a logo.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that's what that was called. Yeah.
I used to send out those and then that company kind of like their customer service regressed. But typically anyone I meet, I immediately go up to them. I was like, I would love to connect with you. Which platform do you prefer, Instagram or Facebook? And they immediately going to tell you what's their platform. So then I stand there and I don't leave till they actually either accept my friend request or we follow each other back. And that it's formed. We're in each other's worlds. Because if you're going to give somebody a business card or, those modern QR codes, hey, just tap here.
Yeah, those things. Not about those things either. No. I think the follow is definitely the move.
Yeah, the follow, the move. And then I try to track everybody's birthdays, especially Instagram doesn't have that option. But Facebook, I set my alarm. And I'm very semi-consistent with it. Every other day, I set my alarm, check everybody's birthdays. And I see who birthday it is. And I just send them video message. Hey, Matt, this is your birthday from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Happy birthday. Goes a long way.
That's nice. Doesn't do that. You're way nicer than us. I think, I don't know. I don't know if I'm that nice. I don't know if I have it in me. You're very, very
well. The thing is, we're not on Facebook as much. And that was one of the best things that Facebook was good for, is reminding people about birthdays. And now even like my best friends, because I don't know, I don't remember my best friend's birthday. I mean, sometimes I do, I guess, but even like the ancillary friends or something like that would at least give me a memory where I could just shoot them a message. And now I just don't have that anymore.
Yeah. Well, maybe Eric, it's a sign to come back to Facebook. I know you're very busy.
Well, I'll say this about Facebook from a content perspective, which I realize on these podcasts, I say from a content perspective every single time. I need to stop saying that. I said it like 15 times on the walkthrough yesterday. Yeah. But from a content perspective, when you publish to Facebook, when you publish reels organically, I'm getting a tremendous amount of engagement on it right now. So I do use Facebook all the time, but strictly to publish and for our BMX Facebook group. But that's pretty much it right now.
I think I just joined BMX Facebook group. I want to be a
contributor. Oh, nice. Perfect. Yes, let's do it.
Nice. Sweet. Well, Lana, I mean, that's why did they call me out like that? We never know how to transition out, Lana. Maybe you can help us.
Lana, how do you conclude an episode? You're such a good speaker.
We're horrible at starting and we're horrible at ending, but the middle is really good.
Middle's fantastic.
So what would you do in this situation?
Let me just transition all of us out. Dear audience, it was a pleasure. If you're not following Matt and Eric on social media platforms, you're absolutely missing out. Don't forget to follow me as well for some laughs. But these two men are changing our industry for the better. And thank you for tuning in. We're all available for online questions, answers. If we can be an asset to your real estate life, please don't hesitate to reach out. And I'm going to leave you guys with my favorite quote. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Bam.
Boom. Beautiful.